Blog Talk Radio. on. If you're going to join us, you can come in now. The Zoom is up. Okay? Thank you. Bye. Okay, so we'll give them a few minutes.
Okay.
It is such a beautiful day out.
Yeah, I need to go out.
Well, I go out because I have to take Chico, but it's so pretty out there.
It's been that way, really.
I think we're supposed to warm up next week or this week.
I don't know.
No, because we're supposed to have rain tomorrow, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard in the evening, right?
Yes. I made a mistake and put up Blog Talk Radio, but I forgot not to start it, and I started it, so now it's just on. It's okay, you know. It's just I put it on mute so nobody would hear what we're saying anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a program going on.
The program is on, but there's nobody saying anything.
Oh, okay. So yes. It's like nothing.
Exactly. So if anybody calls, they'll just be on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's okay. Because normally I don't put it on Wednesdays, but I didn't know what we was going to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So Nadine fixed it or?
No, see Pastor there, he put it up while he's on his way home.
Hi, how are you?
I don't think he could hear. I mean, he could hear, but he can't answer. Let's see. Colossians chapter 2.
Thank you for doing that.
How you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Hey, look at you all bundled up. Thanks for putting us on.
Got held up. Oh, there she go.
Oh, hey.
Hi, pal.
The scripture when you're ready to get started.
Yes, but let me just pray us in.
No,
what page are we on?
159. Yeah, we have one more lesson left in it. Then maybe something helps you. She ordered them back. All right. If Belinda come in, it's okay. Let us pray. Precious and Heavenly Father, once again, a few of your humble servants come together to study your word, Lord God, and to thank you for waking us up this morning to a brand new day, one that we did not see and did not know what would happen in this day, Lord God, but we're grateful that we are all blessed and here together with one another to study your word again. Lord God, we thank you for life, for strength, health, wisdom, understanding. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you for just breathing the breath of life into us to see another day and watching over us last night while we slept so peacefully, Lord God. We thank you for the beautiful full moon that we had last night. It was so bright and lovely, Lord God. We thank you for that creation. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, Lord God. We thank you for our neighbors, our enemies, and Lord God, we just so thankful for everything that you do for us. We're thankful for Jesus Christ that died on the cross for our sins, Lord God. We thank you for forgiving us for our sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. We'll continue to let your will be done in our lives, Lord God. We ask that you be in the midst of this lesson tonight, Lord God, and let us open up our ears and our hearts and ears to hear, to perceive what thus says the Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this word tonight that Paul is going to bring forth to us, Lord God. Open us up, Lord God, that we can soak up every word that Paul is telling us, Lord. Give us understanding, wisdom, and just guide us, Lord God, in this lesson tonight. We know that you are in the midst of us, and we are thankful, grateful, we love you, we honor and adore you. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Hi, Belinda.
Hello. Oh, she made it. How you doing?
Hi.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, let me just put it so that we are all together. There we go.
Praise. Can you share the book?
No, I don't know how to do that one. But it's, you know, most basically it's just about the scriptures. It's, you know, telling the whole story is about, you know, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 19. Yes. And you can read that when you're ready.
What page
did you want tonight? 158, Belinda.
Okay.
That's the scripture, and then we're going to do the title and everything on the next page, 159. Okay.
Everyone ready?
You ready, Belinda?
Okay, go ahead, and I'll catch up.
I am coming from the Bible and starting from... thank you. Colossians 2, starting at verse 6.
Amen.
And the topic of this is from the shadows to the substance. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You receive Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live in him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. Verse 11. Enter into this have already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as in Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. So, don't put up with anyone pressuring you in details of diet, worship services, or holy days. All those things are mere shadows cast before what was to come, the substance of Christ, verse 18. Don't tolerate people who try to burn your life, ordering you to bow and scrape, insisting that you join their obsession with angels, and that you seek out visions. That's a lot of hot air. That's all they are. They're completely out of touch with the source of life, Christ, who puts us together in one piece, very breath and blood flow through us. He is the head, and we are the body. We can grow up healthy in God only as He nourishes us. The word of the Lord is already blessed.
Amen.
Let us hear it and do it. Precious word.
Amen. Praise be to God. That was funny though, when you okay, so the title of our lesson tonight is Complete in Christ. And our lesson text, which Barbara read, was Colossians 2, 6 through 19. And the time of this lesson is A.D. 60, and the place is Rome. And our golden text is, ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. That's in Colossians 2 and 10. And the introduction, many Christians have looked for a key that can unlock the door to a victorious Christian life. In writing to the Colossians, Paul gave them that very key. The secret to spiritual success is living on the basis of what Christ has already done for His people. We become Christians by receiving Christ by faith. Likewise, our continual effectiveness as Christians comes by walking in Him. Christ is more than adequate for the spiritual needs of His people. He Himself is God, with complete authority over all that He made. Through Christ, we have died to sin and have been raised to new life. He has completely triumphed over all the powers of evil. So, He is able to guarantee spiritual victory for those who are in Him. To enjoy this victory, we need to find our contentment in Christ. Instead of submitting to human regulations, we must hold fast to Christ Himself. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of that word. So our lesson outline tonight is Colossians 2, 6 through 8 is committed to Christ. And number 2, Colossians 2, 9 through 15 is complete in Christ. And number 3, Colossians 2, 16 through 19 is content in Christ. So we are committed to Christ, complete in Christ, and content in Christ. Amen. So let's turn over to page 164. You're there with Belinda?
Okay.
Christ cannot be overestimated. The believer is complete in him. Any teaching that implies that Christ is not enough must be rejected.
Amen.
Yes. Anything that is teaching that implies that Christ is not enough must be rejected. Our aim for today, fact, to learn about the believer's completeness in Christ. And our principle, to teach that Jesus is all we need. We don't need anybody else but him. And our application is to help students appreciate the sufficiency that they have in Christ. And the introduction to the lesson is an old cliche maintains that you cannot improve upon perfection. This is a lesson that Sarah had to learn the hard way as she tried to come up with a new and improved version of Grandma's recipe. Why do people like to change, add stuff or take away stuff from a recipe that is already perfection? Amen. For homemade donuts. And you know that's not right. Sarah thought that by adding a few ingredients to Grandma's time-tested recipe, she could produce an even better donut. Mm-mm-mm. She was wrong. The people who had enjoyed Grandma's donuts over the years could not be fooled by substitutions only the real thing would do. Amen. Does that remind you of something?
That's right.
Doctrine and donuts may have something in common. The truth about Jesus Christ cannot be argumented or replaced. He is who he is. The person who is in Christ is complete in him. There were those in Paul's day who could not accept this. And there are those in our day who struggle with the basic simplicity of life in Christ. Now, this week's lesson teaches that we are complete in him. Amen?
Amen.
Developing the lesson. Number one, reject epiphany in Colossians 2, 6 through 7. That's verses 2, 6 through 7. Says, once we receive Christ, we have just begun. And you'll find that also in Philippians 3, 13 through 14, and Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. Our walk is the way we live. Do a concordance study of the word, walk, as it is used in this sense in the epistles. Paul exhorted his readers not to wander away from the initial teaching they had received regarding Christ, but to continue to walk in that way. In Colossians 2 and 7, describes the person who has received Christ and continues to walk in him. List the characteristics that Paul has given and comment on each. reading Ephesians 4:13-14, believers who are rooted in Christ and built up and established in the faith are going to be abundantly thankful. Emphasize the prominence of thanksgiving in the Christian life. 1 Thessalonians. Okay. So let's go to Philippians 3:13. Sister Barbara, can you get that?
Sure.
And Val, can you get Hebrews 5:12-14? And Belinda, Ephesians chapter 4:13-14.
Where you mixed up at?
Okay, the scripture was Ephesians.
Okay, Ephesians.
Chapter 4.
Okay,
Ephesians is after Galatians.
Okay. That's in the bank, right?
Yes.
In the New Testament,
after Galatians. Philippians 3:13-14.
Okay, my size is 12-14.
Okay, that's fine.
Philippians 3:12-14, the title is Focus on the Goal. It says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, but I have it made. But I am well on my way. I'm sorry, one more time. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made. But I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself as an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back.
Amen.
Amen.
So you want to expound on that?
All right, this is Paul talking about, he's not saying that he has it all together. I mean, he's been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Been in shipwrecks and in jail and beat and spat upon and had to run for his life and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not saying, in preaching, he's not saying that he has it all together, but he's saying that in everything that he's been through,
yes,
Christ has reached out to him.
Right.
And that he is going to count it all joy, things that he's gone through. And it says, by no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've always got my eye on the prize, on the goal. So he's keeping his eye on the prize, on the goal, which is to be in Christ Jesus, and come hell or high water,
he's
not going to be turned around.
Absolutely.
On what may, situation, mm-hmm. circumstances, I still know where I'm going. I'm focused.
Mm-hmm.
I know where my Jesus is.
Amen. Amen. And we as Christians should be just like Paul, focused.
Mm-hmm.
on our goal. And our goal is Jesus Christ. Okay?
Don't be distracted.
Yes.
There will be obstacles.
Absolutely.
Your way. They can make you stumble and fall and look left. You need to be looking forward. Don't fall for it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Belinda, you got it?
Want to expand on that? Ephesians 5:12-14.
Thank you.
No, I'm sorry, not Ephesians. Hebrews. Hebrews.
5:12-14. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so that was a call to spiritual growth. Val, you want to expound on that? Well, in here, it says in order to grow from infant Christians to mature Christians, we must learn discernment and we must train our conscience, our senses, our mind, and our body to distinguish good from evil. Can you recognize temptation before it traps you? Or can you tell the difference between a correct use of scripture and a mistaken one? So that's 12-14. And that's what it says. It just put it a little more plainer. Because when you read the scripture,
different perspective.
Different
perspective.
But it's like, you know, when we start off as infants drinking milk, and then over the years we should, like every, if we're reading the word every day, then we should be growing in the word to become more, to become mature in the word.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is, a spiritual growth. Right. Okay.
I just want to say,
yes.
As you said, sometimes people will answer a question with the scripture that is totally irrelevant to the question.
Exactly.
Which means they didn't understand the question and they don't understand the scripture that they're quoting.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
And that, okay. Sister Barbara, it starts off as like, you may need to be taught, even though you're a teacher, because this is new now. A babe in Christ is a new creature in Christ, a new soul in Christ. So you may come as a teacher, a professor, but the word says, for when the time you ought to be teaching, ye have need that one to teach you again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you got a lot of people that, you know, still in, that's been in church for years and years and years, and still they're babies, you know, because they
I always tell people that professors, a lot of professors, they don't read the Bible. They don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's Belinda, Ephesians 4:13 and 14.
Okay, Ephesians 4.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off, therefore, that's what I mean.
13. Wait.
Therefore, because I'm reading it in the...
What, you reading it in what Bible?
This one.
What version is that?
What version? King James, New Living, NIV?
Oh, I think it's the NIV.
The
NIV, the one down. Okay. Go ahead, Belinda.
It says, therefore, a prison Christ, is it Christ or prison?
Spell it.
Still it for the sinner of serving the Lord. Belding you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you.
G-L-O-R-Y?
G-L-O-R-Y.
Glory, yes. Belinda, that's 13 and 14.
I'm on 9.
No, you was only supposed to read 13 and 14.
Okay.
All right, so I'll read it for you. Ephesians chapter 4 is unity in the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. I have a sister like that. And she used to do that to my mother. That girl would stand in front of my mother and tell my mother the biggest lie. But we know she's lying. But my mother is sitting there and she's believing everything that this child is saying because she is so convincing. But she was very good at lying. Very good. So, but
in chapter 4, verse 26, I like this verse where it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath."
Amen.
And
but sin not.
Yeah, but to, I realize, you know, to, what job comes back, to solve the problem, fight the problem, and not the person.
Right.
To attack the problem, but not the person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that takes some maturity to do.
Exactly.
And the Bible also talks about time. Don't let the sun go down.
Oh.
Don't hold on to stuff for the end of the year. You know, try to find an appropriate time and way. But, you know, with married couples too, they, I don't know if it's therapy or it's biblical, that we're supposed to solve our problems before the end of the night.
Right. That's why the Bible tells us that, you know, it's a sin if you argue with your husband or anybody and you take that anger into another day. Because what happened in that same day, and once you go past the time, that you're bringing an old sin into a new day. So that's what make it sinful. So you're supposed to solve your problems that same day, that same time. You know, don't let the sun go down on your anger.
It says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Well, wrath means anger.
Right.
Okay? All right. So let's...
If you say wrath and I say anger,
yes.
That means we're on the same
page.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, number two. Reject man-based philosophy. In Colossians 2, 8 through 10. So the man... Oh, I lost my... Colossians 2. Oh, thank you. Colossians 8 through 10. Tells us that, you know, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Praise God. Where am I reading up to? I was supposed to go to 8 to 10. Oh, okay. I went up over that part. But anyway, so he's saying that so Paul writes against any philosophy of life based only on human ideas and experiences. Paul himself was a gifted philosopher, so he is not condemning philosophy. He is condemning teaching that credits humanity, not Christ. So if you're, you know, talking about a human being who is like people who worship idols, stars, they make them like idols. And in their rooms, they have like all these pictures and ornaments and things of these stars. But you're honoring that person and not Christ. So this is what Paul is telling us, you know, not with being the answer to life's problems. That approach becomes a false religion There are many man-made approaches to life's problems that totally disregard God. To resist heresy, you must use your mind, keep your eyes on Christ, and study God's word. So that's what Paul is telling us to do. So he said, the book says, your students must know something about the reason that Colossians was written. False teaching was circulating that word that would develop into what was known as not say the word, Sister Barbara. Gnosticism.
Gnosticism.
That's it.
G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I.
Right. Gnosticism. An excellent, concise summary of the occasion for the writing of Colossians can be found in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. List the characteristics of the false teachers cited in verse 8. And the false teachers in verse 8. Oh, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. So point out that the false doctrine was man-based. The vain philosophy Paul referred to did not start with the revelation of God, but with the reasoning of men. Refer to 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, which affirms that the world by wisdom knew not God. Man-centered traditions also is a source for some people's belief. For a summary of worldliness, refer to 1 John 2. Sister Barbara, can you do 1 John 2, 15 to 16? Val, 1 Corinthians 1 and 29. And Belinda, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It's right in the book on the scripture.
Okay.
1 John 2:15-16.
Okay. When you're ready.
Val, 1 Corinthians 1:21.
1 and 20 and 1.
No, I said 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21.
Mm-hmm. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And Sister Barbara? Amen. So that is stemming from teaching from worldly sources or not of God.
Amen.
Amen. So Belinda, Colossians 2 and 9.
2 and 9.
Yes, ma'am. Just look for verse 9 in the book, in the,
okay.
Where the scriptures are.
Okay.
It's on page 158. Yeah, verse 9.
Okay, verse 9, 158.
Yes. Colossians 2 and 9 is an unequivocal declaration of Christ's deity, which is the foundation for all true Christian doctrine. Val, can you get John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, through, and verse 14? Yes, 1 through 2.
And then 14.
And then 14.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
Same was in the beginning with God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. So the Word became human. By doing so, Christ became the perfect teacher.
Yes.
In Jesus' life, we see how God thinks, and therefore how we should think. As a model of what we are to become, he shows us how to live and give us the power to live that way. Jesus came as a sacrifice for all sins, and his death sanctified God's requirements for the removal of sin. Amen? So that was 1 to 14. So the believer is complete in him. Colossians 2 and 10 says that, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Discuss the implications of being complete in Christ in light of the previous verses. The true faith is not a mixture of human philosophy and Christ. True faith relies on Christ alone. Focus on the phrase "in him." Read also Romans 8 and 1. Sister Barbara, can you get Romans 8 and 1? for reinforcement of the believer's status in Christ. The false teaching that was surfing involved angel worship. Paul made it clear that Christ was not merely an angel. He is the head of all principalities and power. Amen? That was Romans 8 and 1.
You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
And the title is, The Solution is Life on God's Terms.
Mm-hmm.
With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ, being here for us, no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud.
Mm.
A new power
yes.
is in operation.
Hallelujah.
The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a stated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death.
Amen. Thank you. So, not guilty. Let him go free. What would those words mean to you? Anybody?
Let's say.
Amen.
Good.
So, if you were on death row, the fact is that the whole human race is on death row. Justly condemned for repeated breaking God's holy law. Without Jesus, we would have no hope at all. But thank God. Woo! Let me say that again. But thank God he has declared us not guilty and has offered us freedom from sin and power to do his will. Hallelujah. Some people love evil more than they do good.
And
exactly.
Can I ask you,
Amen.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Can I pay you back an offer at?
Sure.
Sister Belinda, you said you treat people as they want you to treat them. And
right.
I mean, that's because you're trying to be good. But sometimes, if they want to be treated, we can't treat them any way. They might be wanting, something that's not right or not good for them, you know. But another thing I was thinking is that if we're taught from the lesson, if we're taught a philosophy, a way of thinking that is not right, you know, a way of life that is not right, and we're constantly living in blood, but we got these habits because of this philosophy, you know, we're being misled again. You understand what I'm saying?
Thank you. You see my lips moving?
Yes.
Thank you. And I just want to add, Belinda, that you say we treat others the way they want to be treated. But the Bible says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. So my thing is, what is the difference? If you treat people the way they want to be treated, or if you treat others the way you want to be treated, is there a difference, Belinda?
Because you're Christ's son.
Let Belinda answer, please. First, you can come next.
God with them.
Absolutely, before it was too late. He was a new creature in God, in Christ. Yes.
No matter what he did, he knew he could cause all peace. No matter what he did out there, he knew I had his back.
Thank God.
Amen. Yes. Yes. And that's why God blessed you, because you didn't turn your back on him. You know, no matter what family members do.
The lesbian community was really, really big. Like,
Bible, a quote in scripture, come on, you gotta give us the same right and perspective.
Amen.
And then we and God wants us to demand it, speak boldly.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, number three, reject legalism. In Colossians 2:11-17, the heresy in Colossae had a Jewish flavor, as indicated by the reference to circumcision. Ephesians 2:11, circumcision was a sign of the covenant made with Abraham and his descendants. It had no spiritual significance. To the Colossians believers who were under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit baptized all who believe in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, this concept is further developed in Romans 6:1-5. This baptism identifies us with Christ. This identification with him through the Spirit's baptism occurs at the moment of salvation. Note the role of faith in salvation. Okay, so Valerie, can you get 1 Corinthians 12:13 and Sister Barbara Romans 6:1-5?
Okay.
And Belinda, Colossians 2:12.
1 Corinthians 12:13, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So Paul compares the body of Christ to a human body. Each part has a specific function that is necessary to the body as a whole. The parts are different for a purpose, and in their differences, they must work together. Christians must avoid two common errors. One, being proud of their ability, or two, thinking they have nothing to give to the body of believers. Instead of comparing ourselves to one another, we should use our different gifts together to spread the good news of salvation. Amen? Praise God. Sister Barbara,
Romans 6:1-5, subtitle, when death comes life.
Mm.
So what do we do? Keep on sinning? Of God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not.
Mm-hmm.
If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good?
Mm.
That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life. In a new land. Verse 3. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus is. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. We when we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new race, sovereign country. Amen.
Amen. That is, you don't even need to expound on that because it explains everything that we have to do.
Yes.
To God be the glory. Belinda?
Yes.
Colossians 2 and 10, 2 and 12.
Okay.
Are you reading 12?
Yes, 2 to 12.
No. Chapter 2, verse 12. Just verse 12.
Chapter 2, verse 12.
Yes.
Okay. It says Christ. Is it?
No, buried. Buried with him in baptism. You see it? Buried with him in baptism. In the book. You're in the book. And you're at the scripture 158.
Oh, hold on. I'm at a different page.
158. Verse 12. Verse 12. Go to 12. Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And okay, that was the last page, 2 and 12. Ephesians. Valerie, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, and Sister Barbara, Colossians 2, 13 through 15.
What was that again, Evangelist?
Ephesians 2, 8 through 9.
Not a word that any man should boast.
Amen. Praise God. So when someone gives you a gift, do you say, that's very nice? Or now, how much do I owe you? No. The appropriate response to a gift is, thank you. Yet, how often Christians, even after they have been given the gift of salvation, feel obligated to try to work their way to God? Because our salvation and even our faith are gifts. We should respond with gratitude, praise, and joy. Amen? Praise God. Sister Barbara?
Colossians 2, verses 9-11-15.
Okie doke.
Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already inside, not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Blowing under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it. All signs, all sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest mark canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked the street.
So the penalty of sin is death. That the penalty of sin died with Christ on the cross. So God has declared us not guilty, and we need no longer live under sin's power. God does not take us out of the world or make us robots. We will still feel like sinning. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to still want to sin. And sometimes we will sin. The difference is that before we were saved, we were slaves to our sinful nature. But now we are free to live for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo! What a wonderful gift he gave to us sinners. Praise be to God. So they had been dead, but now they were alive. They had been condemned sinners, but now they were forgiven. Identify the handwriting of origin of audience as the law in verse 14. Since no one could keep the law, it was always a debt unpaid. Discuss the significance of the nailing of this to the cross. The principalities and powers, verse 15, are demonic forces. So the relationship of the Old Testament to the New is addressed in verses 16 through 17. Legalism must be rejected, for it seeks to make personal righteousness the focus instead of Christ.
Go on, I'll wait.
Now, I was going to say, for what you guys think about what I just read, that to us, the handwriting, it says that they had been dead, but now they were alive. which he's talking about the Colossians, as we today, they have been condemned sinners, but now they were forgiven. And then it says to identify the handwriting of ordinance as the law. Since no one could keep the law, it was always a debt unpaid. Discuss the significance of the nailing of this to the cross. Yes, Valerie. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bob.
Now, I was going to say, asking the class, what is legalism?
Legalism is when is it something legal? No, you told me not to use the same word.
I'm assuming that there's biblical laws and then there's laws of the land, like Caesar's laws and then God's laws. I'm thinking that's what legalism is.
Well, I'll
look it up.
Well, I think. The law that,
Before you look it up, I don't want you to look it up and then tell us. I want you to know before you look it up.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Bless you.
I'll take it, but I'm just coughing.
Oh, it sounds like a sneeze.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So what is legalism? Legalism is abiding by the law. They had the Mosaic Law, and the Pharisees in particular, felt that anything the Mosaic Law said, they had it. They had it covered, right? But then there's a reference in Scripture, I don't know exactly which one it was, but it tells how the Pharisees had a cup, and they washed the outside of it, but the inside is filthy.
Oh.
All right, so they would do the exterior thing.
Yes.
And they look right, but the inside had not been cleaned, meaning their bodies had not been cleaned. So legally abiding by the laws and such of the land, Mosaic, spiritual laws, as opposed to doing unto others as you would have others do unto you. By Jesus' lead, all right? By that 11th or 12th commandment that Jesus left us. That's legalism. Val, if you were so fine, what would you find?
Oh, I didn't look it up.
Okay, so here it says, the cross of Christ has set us free from legalism. The Colossian Christians had turned to Christ for Christ and forsaken their sinful nature. They had experienced a spiritual circumcision. Paul reminded them that their baptism was an outward sign that they had died to themselves and had risen to new life in Christ. Yes, their sinful past was forgiven. The negative record against them was canceled and nailed to the cross, never again to be held against them. This work was done by Christ for all believers. We are now free from obligations to our old life. Christ freed us from this on the cross. He destroyed Satan's power over us. Guilt and shame are left behind us with Christ's cleansing. Christ publicly overcame Satan's power and freed us from religious legalism. In Romans 8 and 1, where you just finished reading, we are reminded of this same truth, that there is no fear of condemnation when we trust Christ as Lord. Amen?
Yes.
So that's what the heart of the lesson tells us about, and that's in Colossians 2:11 through 15, which is talking about the legalism. Okay. What did you get, Valerie?
From what I got, I was that.
No, the definition of legalism.
Oh, I didn't look it up.
Well, that's what we were waiting for.
I thought you had it.
No.
I thought you were reading it.
Oh, no, yeah, that's in the book. I was reading it from the book, from our lesson.
Well, I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the definition of legalism.
Okay.
Excessive adherence to law or formula.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In theology, it's dependence on moral law rather than on personal religious faith. They were dependent on the Mosaic law,
right,
rather than their personal faith.
Mm.
Stress obedience apart from faith. And you produce legalism. So if you stress, don't do this, don't do that, if you do this, that's not happening.
Yes.
If you stress that more so than faith,
mm-hmm.
that's legalism.
Oh.
That's legalism. Is that clearer?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number four. Reject mysticism. And that's in Colossians 2:18 through 19. The Colossians heretics were promoting such practice as the worship of angels. Wait, they were worshiping angels? Spirituality that conflicts with God's revelation. In scripture, is to be rejected. Of course not. So in Sister Barbara, Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5, and Val, Colossians 2 and 19, and Belinda, John chapter 15, verse 5. Belinda. In your Bible.
Okay.
The Gospel of John, St. John, okay. Chapter 15, verse 1. Let me finish reading. Discuss the implications of this for today.
Colossians 2 and 19?
Yes. But Sister Barbara, go first. Exodus 20, 3 through 5.
When you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And mine starts at 3.
Okay.
No other gods, only me.
Mm-hmm.
No carved gods of any size or form of anything whatever, whether of things that fly or walk or swim, don't bow down to them. And don't serve them, because I am God, your God, and I'm a most jealous God,
yes.
Punishing the children for any sin their parents pass on to them,
to
the third, and yes, even to the fourth generation of those who hate me.
Yes.
But I'm unswervingly loyal to the thousands who love me and keep my commandments.
Amen. That's okay. 6 is fine. Praise be to God. And that is what this in the scripture is to be rejected. So he was telling them to reject it. Okay, discuss the implications of this for today. Compare Paul's reference to the head. Val, Colossians 2 and 19.
And not holding the head. All the bodies, by joints and bands, have a nourishment ministered and knit together, increases
So the fundamental problem with the false teachers was that they were not connected to Christ, the head of the body of believers. If they had been joined to him, they could not have taught false doctrine or lived immorally. Anyone who teaches about God without being connected to him by faith should not be trusted. Hear that? Hallelujah. Should not be trusted. If you don't have a connection with God, how can you tell me about God? Amen? Exactly. Okay, with Jesus' statement in John 15.
Yeah, I just want to add, that's the problem with some of the seminaries.
Yes.
They say many of the professors are not, they're not Christians.
Nope. They're atheists.
And they turn the students away from God instead of
toward him,
bringing whatever it is that needs to be brought to them out of the teaching.
My Lord. Praise him. Belinda, John 15 and 5.
Okay. John 15 and 5.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, that is okay.
The Gospel of John, chapter 15.
Okay. Afternoon.
John chapter 15. You see 15? After 14 is 15.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, go down to verse 5.
Verse 5?
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
Read it.
It said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branch.
You are the branches.
Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me,
you can do nothing. Apart from me, you could do nothing. That's it. Verse 5.
Okay.
So,
all right,
5 is telling us about the fruit.
The fruit.
Yes.
He's telling us about the fruit.
Yes. It's not limited to soul winning. In this chapter, answered prayer, joy, and love are mentioned as fruit. Okay? Describe additional fruit qualities of Christian character. So here, where's 15? Jesus is all that one needs. But the false teachers were not connected to him as the head of the body. Amen? And our illustrating lesson is, when we are in Christ, we need no addictive like philosophy, legalism, or mysticism. I pronounced that right? Mysticism.
Mysticism, but I think it's additive, isn't it?
Oh, additives. What did I? Oh, I said addictive.
You said addictive.
Well, we could be addicted to those.
Yeah.
And the diagram is Jesus alone. In the cross is Jesus, no philosophy, no legalism, and no mysticism. And my conclusion is all of God's fullness rests in Christ. And Christ is all that we need.
Amen.
Challenge the class members to reject all teachings that suggest that we can add to what Christ has already done for us on the cross. Amen. And the practical points are, in Colossians 2:6-7, the Christian life is to be characterized by consistency, stability, and a spirit of thanksgiving. Number two, any teaching that deviates at all from the truth of Christ's deity must be rejected. And you find that in verses 8-9. Number three, when we are grounded in the truth that we are complete in Christ, false teaching will have no appeal to us. And that's in verses 10-14. Number four, as Christians, we need not live in fear of Satan and his demons. They are defeated foes. Verse 15.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Number five, to adopt the legalistic observation some people would demand of us is to abandon our freedom in Christ. Yeah, you a fool if you do. Verses 16-17. And number six, let us not heed anyone who elevates a person or an experience to the same level as Christ. Verses 18-19. Praise be to God, ladies. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this lesson tonight. Awesome lesson. I truly enjoyed this lesson tonight. Oh my God, you and me both. And next week, Belinda, next week we're on page 172.
Okay.
So make sure you put a pen or something in there too.
Okay.
And that will be our last lesson. Yep. That's the last lesson for this month. So who want to be wonderful and prayers out? What? Nobody? Oh. Don't feel bad. We go through the same thing in our Saturday class. Nobody wants to pray out. Okay. Thank you, Jesus.
A few of your humble servants are several at this hour to give you praise, glory, and honor. God, we thank you for Evangelist Hilda. We thank you for Belinda. We thank you for Deaconess Valerie. We thank you for First Lady Nadine. We thank you for Apostle Robert Wiggins. And anybody else that's a part of this, Father God, or not. We just thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Being in the midst of it, we thank you for enlightening us, blessing our souls, Father God, giving us water and food to drink and just eat your word, Lord God. Thank you for that.
Thank you
for opening our eyes and allowing us to see exactly what you would have us to see. And it may not still be as deep as you want it to be, but
Because
that's what I do.
It's waking me up, bothering me, my sleep.
Well, I mean,
what did you eat today, Valerie?
Oh,
Ooh, I bought me some today too. No, give me my sugar.
No, but it's like it's so mellow. It's like I guess supposed to give me a little spark.
A little jolt.
Sometimes it makes me work a lot. I'm like,
yeah, that's the caffeine.
I've got a couple of puffs. Sometimes I can't work. Like, I'm getting ready to talk right now. I'm getting ready.
Do that, but she put something else in it. I don't know what it is or was, but
Oh, she made it creamy.
No, it wasn't creamy. It was like, it wasn't creamy, but she did scrape it off the cob.
Uh-huh.
And she put it in a frying pan, salt, pepper, I guess.
Yeah.
And something was white in there. I never asked her. I just ate it. It was very good.
Oh, you should have asked her, because all we put was
I
just salt and pepper.
I just knew I did it now.
Maybe it was a little bit of cornstarch.
No, we didn't do cornstarch in the South like that.
Really?
I had a
cream. We used cornstarch.
When I came to New York, when I heard about cornstarch making your gravy and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Is cornstarch like a liquor?
No, it's like a pot. It's flour.
Well, ladies, it's 8:07, and have a wonderful evening and a blessed rest.
Wait, Lena, we were supposed to discuss this for a second.
Oh, okay. Because you was on the phone, I thought that you was...
No, my accessorized is calling. I got
to
answer.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I'll be off in a moment, but...
No problem. No problem.
Well, I want to share with you, I had a craving tonight.
For what? Oh, my God.
Me and Clyde, we love White Castle.
Not tonight, Valerie.
And brought two boxes.
You got to be kidding. I haven't had White Castle.
My little mini mind is thinking, just one little.
No, no, no. Absolutely not. Yes.
And I looked for the receipt, I found one. My protein was $4.49.
Wow, yours is cheaper than mine.
$4.49, right?
Yes.
$4.49.
Well, the Bronx prices are always higher than any other borough.
How much was it?
It was $4.69.
That same little?
Yes. $4.69 a bottle.
I thought I had St. Les to shop right, but...
$4.69 a bottle, and I normally buy four bottles. Because I love them. I'll have...
Mr. Barbara, you said that we didn't discuss making, keeping it up, but I think we all said we want to make certain lifestyle. Well, I'm going to make certain lifestyle changes as to what I...
We thought you was coming back with a plate of food, Belinda. That's why we thought you was coming back with the plate of food. But whatever it is, I know it's gonna be good. And that's only because I have a craving for a ginger ale. So I would just buy that one can of soda.
That should be all right.
Yeah, once a month. And it, like some people drink soda 3-4 times a day.
A day.
Mm-hmm.
What about salsa? I think salsa should be okay. I had a can of salsa the other day. Unflavored, unsweetened, no calories.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like drinking water.
Carbonation. Yes.
Right. I like it because it makes me burp.
Right. But you know what? What you sent out, I'm sorry, says nothing but water to drink.
Yeah.
Says
nothing but water, Val.
Well,
when? The
on your Daniel's behalf that you emailed to us.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, it's a personal thing.
We've been doing it like that. We thought we'd get out of the past, you know. We was extremely spiritual.
Yeah, but in those days, back in Daniel's days, they ain't had no corn.
They did.
But I never see them eating any.
Well, we haven't seen them eating stuff.
The only thing I see them be eating is unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And fruits and dates. What?
I'm gonna share two things. Okay, the lifestyle changes. I'm gonna stick with drinking. You know, I'm not pouring on the towels, drinking water, crystalline. I'm gonna stay with that. And what I'm gonna add to my lifestyle changes is I'm gonna eat more fruits and vegetables. I'm loving my stir fried vegetables.
Good. And also it's like preparing us for the end times when the day come when we can't purchase any food unless we have the mark of the beast. So it'll be like you will be like in spiritually in prayer that you won't be thinking about food. So it's like preparing us for all these things to come.
Wow.
That's how I look at it, you know?
Okay, okay. Can I read that portion that I want to
read? Yes. Oh, my neighbor used to give them to me, but she don't get them anymore. You know, she.
I listen to it online. I listen to it online.
Yeah, I listen to pray.com.
This is from Tuesday, February the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Valerie and my mother's birthday.
Mm.
And for no particular reason, but it came from Psalm 13, mm-hmm. verse 1, and it says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever?
Mm.
And this is by Bill Crowder and Monica LaRose wrote the insight. So it says, the United Kingdom brims with history. Everywhere you go, you see plaques honoring historic figures or commemorating sites where important events occurred. But one such sign exemplifies the droll British sense of humor. You know what that means, right? The droll British sense of humor. You know what that
means? No, what does it mean? I mean, I know that
dry.
It's the what?
Dry sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
Dry.
Okay.
So droll British sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
On a weathered plaque outside a bed and breakfast in Sandwich, England, a message reads, on this site, September the 5th, 1782,
mm-hmm.
nothing happened.
Mm.
Sometimes it seems to us that nothing is happening regarding our prayers. We pray and pray, bringing our petitions to our Father with expectations that He'll respond right now. The psalmist David expressed such frustration when he prayed, how long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 13 and 1. We can easily echo these same thoughts. How long, Lord, before you respond? However, our God is not only perfect in His wisdom, but also in His timing. David was able to say, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Verse 5, Ecclesiastes 3 and 11 reminds us, God has made everything beautiful in its time. The word beautiful means appropriate or a source of delight. God may not always respond to our prayers when we like Him to, but He's always working out His wise purposes. We can take heart that when He does answer, it will be right and good and beautiful. And it goes on to say, when have you prayed for something and felt that perhaps God was ignoring your request? What lesson might you have learned in that time of waiting? Loving God, please help me to learn of patience in prayer, born of trust in you. And the scripture is Psalm 13 in its entirety, and it's coming from the NIV, I believe, that they use. This is
I love them. They really have some good articles.
This is the NIV.
Yeah, they do. They really
nice
do.
Devotional. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices
beautiful.
Praise God.
Absolutely.
I want to tell you something about fasting. You know, some people just do it for spirituality, because some people will feast for fasting. Like, as soon as the fast is over, peace is prepared. You know, we got to focus. Like, we want to get in health and lose weight. But as soon as, like, when some Muslims finish their Ramadan fast that night, or even before it starts in the morning, they're busy. Get up, eat something before 5, because the fast starts at 5, it ends at 8, you got everything laid out on the big pocket. So it's not just, you know, for dieting and all. It's a spiritual thing.
That's what I was saying, that fasting is like preparing us for the end times. But when it comes, when the time comes when we won't be able to buy food, because if we don't have the mark of the beast in our forehead, we're not going to be able to buy food. Your money, and you know, money won't mean anything to you.
But okay, Evangeline, today, the next, we're in the next season. And people historically fast during this period. Giving up unrighteous things, like maybe you smoke, you drink, you want to give that up during Lent. You want to give that up during Lent. Something. You fast from some unrighteous behavior, food. You know, this is a fasting period. And it's getting us ready for Easter.
But what you just said was different from fasting. What people do during Lent is abstain from certain things.
Thank you. Because as soon as
we're talking about fasting, which is what we're doing,
I know
they give up smoking or alcohol or cussing or fighting or whatever they give up. That's abstaining from something. That's not fasting.
Right.
I understand, but fasting is included in this season too. Some people do fast.
Okay.
But see, the thing is that. Okay, a lot of people give up something for Lent, for the 40 days. After the 40 days, they go right back to doing what they were doing before they went on it.
If that's true, when I come over there, you're going to have so much hope, so much faith. I'm not finished, but this is the
hospital. Oh, my God. I'm not predicting, I'm just stating
but it's true. We can't stick to that resolution.
Exactly.
It's true.
That's why I don't make resolutions. I'm saying it to you guys now because we're all Christians. But a non-believer, I would approach them in a different way.
Okay.
You know, I ain't gonna say, oh, you just saying that, or you gonna give up this and give up that, and then when it's over with, you gonna go right back to doing what you were doing. No, I wouldn't tell them that. I would just tell them, oh, wow, I'm so proud of you. You did a wonderful job by staying away from cigarettes for 40 days. They tell you that they're staying away from secret. You don't know what people do behind closed doors.
It's very true.
That's right.
We don't know. We can only pray that they will stay strong. You know, like...
But the Bible says, let your conversation be holy. And don't be like doubting comments.
Oh, no.
If we're going to give hope, holy, and believe, or we're just going to be doubting.
Alright, so any other encouraging words before we sign off? We love you. We love you too.
We're trying to stay in line.
Amen. That's it for today. 8:29 and I got to dive into my salad. He's only going right downstairs to the tree, and then we coming right back in the house. I will. Little bone chips and his little bacon chips. That's what he's looking at, honey.
Oh, yeah.
I keep them high up there, so when he wants one, he'll come to me and he'll go.
Yeah.
Smart. Yes.
Smart.
And then he'll come on the hind legs and he'll be like this. Exactly.
Wow.
So he just let me know, time for my treat. He don't bite. He nipples. He nips at you. Like if you playing with him, he'll nip. And he got some long teeth, you know. Like if you bite me, I'm going to smack you. Oh, yeah. He knows it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to train them. They like kids. Yeah. Because I used to tell my daughter all the time, don't bite me. Every time I used to play with her and stuff, she would bite me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told Ed so
that.
Woo!
Yeah. You know,
yes.
You know,
yes. Oh, yeah, because they go like this.
Oh.
That's when they rocking.
Oh, my God.
I used to get those butts, too. I think all kids does that. You know, they be playing, and they be going, when my daughter was 3 years old and she bit me on my thigh, in the back of my thigh, I screamed. I was at the stove cooking and I screamed so loud and I turned around and it was, and she laughing because she was just had these sharp little teeth. And I politely took her hand and I bit her finger. Not hard, you know, just hard enough for her to feel it. And she's like, ah! I said, that's how I felt when you bit me. So don't bite people. Yeah. But, you know, she... Oh, no.
Taking his mama's attention.
Yeah. Because she always, yes, She used to always say, you're here. Don't get up here. Because when you get up here, you're going to be sorry. Honey, we just kept on doing what we was doing. And she said, okay, you up here now. Then we kept on doing what we was doing. Next thing we got up here, all we could see was that belt coming.
My mother beat me once and my aunt beat me once. And then it seemed like that just didn't want to stop. I know somebody had to pull my mother off of me.
That's how my grandfather was.
My aunt, she just thought about using the handgun.
Yep. Something back there, but
we don't do that no more.
Oh no. We're not allowed to touch your child.
There's a criminal case I heard about it last night in Utah.
Uh-huh.
I forgot the name of the mother, but she's going to jail for like 30 years for abuse of children.
Wow.
She had about 6 kids. I'm going to tell you this book much. One of them escaped because she was homeschooling them. One of them escaped, went to his neighbor's house, told that his mother was abusing them, and the other siblings were home, but the man was crying when he reported it to 911. And he said, he's got tape around his arm, his body is emaciated when they're feeding him, and he is just, please send help. And then she is in court, but she podcast and tell them how strict she was with the children, right? Her children.
Uh-huh.
But there's another lady who she was following on the podcast who kind of taught her what to do.
Yes.
She got more time. No, she got less time. The mother got more time because you abusing your children.
Wow.
The woman who taught her those evil things got less time, if I'm not mistaken. It still has not been determined how much time they're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, I happened to see that on Nightline last night, how you're not supposed to touch your children like that. And watch them abuse them for like 10 years or more.
Wow.
They're children. I don't watch that stuff.
Did they have a mental problem?
They're getting you separated. Do they have what?
A mental problem?
Well, I guess you have to follow somebody and treat your children like that.
Exactly.
You know? But that's not what they're saying about her.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find it, I forgot her name, you know, listen to it. It's quite something else.
Mm-hmm.
Utah. You know, I don't like the type of blood.
I can't watch no kids get.
Well, I don't know if they brought blood.
I don't know if there's some crime pictures. I can't watch them.
That's real life. Not even a
crime. That's real life.
It's not a movie.
Children are gifts from God. People are not supposed to abuse them.
Not even. You can chastise them, but you don't have to have them, though.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Just got to learn how to lecture your children.
Yeah.
We
got to
stay within the Lord, you know.
They weren't thinking about that. And it was a podcast, and she was telling the public how she did and how they should do.
Whoa.
She was quite an influence. They call her an influencer. She was spousing this child rearing to whoever was listening to her on the podcast.
My goodness.
Her and her partner, the female.
That's so terrible.
Ladies,
terrible.
I'm going to go.
Me? Oh, my goodness. It's almost 9 o'clock. Pastor probably waiting to shut everything down.
God bless you, ladies.
God bless you. Love you guys.
God bless you. Kisses, peace, and love. Back at you.
Good night.
Thank you, Papa.
Good night.
touch the 14. Changes the past few years have taught you how strong you are, Hilda. You have never asked for much. All you want is a simple life full of love and contentment. You play an essential role in many people's lives and you are often under stress, but you smile even when you're exhausted. Now it's time for you to be rewarded. Your march will be full of love and light. A big dream will finally come true for you. Okay, whatever.
Advanced lung cancer has you searching for possibilities. Discover a different first treatment. Immunotherapies work with your immune system to attack cancer, but Opdivo plus Yervoy is the first combination of two immunotherapies for adults newly diagnosed with non-small cell lung cancer that has spread, tests positive for PD-L1, and does not have an abnormal EGFR or ALK gene. Opdivo plus Yervoy is not chemotherapy. It works differently. It helps your immune system fight cancer in two different ways. Opdivo and Yervoy can cause your immune system to harm many parts of your body and turn back into it. These problems can be severe and lead to death. See your doctor right away if you have problems with chest pain, shortness of breath, or regular heartbeat, diarrhea, constipation, sinusitis, cancer, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, fainting, or problems with stream tiredness, changes in appetite, thirst, or eating, rash, itching, confusion, memory problems, muscle pain, weakness, or joint pain, flushing, or fever.
There are negative things that have been passed down from passed down that now you have to deal with. You didn't choose it and you can't overcome it. That's when you're
abundant.
Victory is into your life.
Hey, you see this? Like, where's the dish? There ain't one. You're telling me you can get DirecTV, the good stuff, and you don't need a satellite dish? Oh, I used to love doing my business on those things. You're one sick pigeon. Them dishes kept the rain off our beaks.
We just have different priorities.
Satellite-free DirecTV. Never thought I'd see the day.
Well, our lifespans are quite short. Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish.
I'm gonna do this thing with my Mac just for a bit.
There's a way to cut your dishwashing time by 50%. Try Dawn Power Wash Dish Spray. It removes 99% of grease and grime in half the time. It cleans so well, you can replace multiple cleaning products. Try Dawn Power Wash.
Fashion and Fur, Valley Burns Pet Gallery, next on CBS. I'm here.
want life embraced. More electrified vehicles than any other brand. Yours, Toyota.
Get President's Day savings all month long. Get $6,500 lease bonus cash on RAV4 5 or $7,500 lease bonus cash on EV4X. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Thank you.